of his grace, my gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms and bids us sorrow cease, is music in our sinners' ears, gives life and health and peace. He breaks the power of rock and cancels sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the palace clean. His blood breaks the power of cancel sin. He sets the prisoner free.
I like that verse.
Exodus chapter 4, I'm going to read the first 17 verses.
It says, And Moses answered the Lord, told him to go to the elders of the people, and they would hear him and hearken unto him.
Moses answered and said, Behold, they will not believe me. Nor hearken unto my voice.
For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.
The Lord said, What is that in thine hand?
And he said, A rod.
And he said, Cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent.
Moses fled from before it.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail.
And he put forth his hand and caught it in his hand.
That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, appeared unto thee.
And the Lord said, Furthermore, put now thy hand into thy bosom.
And he put his hand into his bosom, and took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow.
And he said, Put his hand into his bosom again, and he put his hand into his bosom, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again to his other flesh.
And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to thy voice, of the first sign, that they will believe the last sign.
And it shall come to pass, if they shall not believe.
Also these two signs, neither hearken to thy voice, thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it on dry ground.
And pour it upon dry ground, or water, which thou takest out of the river, shall become blood upon dry ground.
Moses said, O my Lord,
I am not eloquent.
Neither heretofore nor since have spoken unto thy servant.
But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.
And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth?
Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the blind?
Am I not the Lord?
Now therefore go,
and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say.
And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send.
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses.
And he said, Is not Aaron thy brother?
I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart.
Now shall speak unto him. And put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth.
And will teach you what we shall do.
And he shall be a spokesman unto the people.
He shall be even as he shall be unto thee instead of a mouth.
And thou shalt be unto him God.
And thou shalt take his rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs.
Let us pray. Our Father, bless you and thank you.
Mercy.
sweet,
sweet,
and precious,
precious,
ever new,
ever new,
every morning.
Every morning.
We thank you
that you consider ruined sinners
in your grand, plan of election,
salvation.
We thank you, Father,
that you chose
that
your people before the world began.
Not counting
that anything
that could ever be
should please thee.
But doing all that was necessary
for their salvation.
What you require,
you accomplished.
We marvel at the thought of it.
We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ,
that perfect death
offered unto thee, satisfies your justice and your law,
which propitiated you and caused these wretched sinners, your servants,
to be welcomed in your family, adopted and born again.
We think of these things, and they are too wonderful for us.
We bless you and thank you.
We pray for those who are sick,
those who are going through great affliction, sorrow, and anguish of heart.
I know it's every case.
Help, Lord.
We know there's nothing too hard for you.
You can heal, you can speak.
The thing is done.
You can purpose it and shall come to pass.
And none can turn it back.
We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ,
glorify your name
to heal these sick folk.
And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you might be with us
in the presence of your Holy Spirit
to take those blessed things of Christ and reveal them unto us.
Show us what we are.
Show us our great need.
Show us our weakness and our frailty.
We might fall upon thee and trust thee
as our only hope in this world.
Help us, Lord, in Christ's name.
Amen.
When our Lord was about to heal a man's son,
who had suffered concussions and deaf and mute since he was a child,
our Lord said to the man who asked for help,
he said, if you can believe, all things are possible
to him that believes.
And to this statement, the man replied, Lord, I believe.
Help thou my unbelief.
In another place, after our Lord told his disciples to forgive and forgive every brother always,
the disciples said, increase our faith.
To that he said, if your faith is as a mustard seed, you can move mountains.
I know some people try to gain that kind of faith all their life,
but that's not what our Lord is setting an example that you ought to achieve.
He said, you'll never have that faith.
These come with prayer and fasting.
He told the disciples, increase our faith.
Increase our faith.
We don't have that kind of faith.
Only one man ever had that kind of faith,
and that was Jesus Christ.
He walked upon this earth.
But these were examples of the ever-present nature within us.
The plague of our soul and the bane of our spirit.
And that is our unbelief.
The title of our message tonight.
Unbelief is the mother of all sin.
And it's not only found in the heart of the infidel,
but is a thing that is always contrary to the spirit of the believer.
The flesh is the old man that troubles the new man.
It's always with us.
So that we cannot do what we would, Paul says to the church.
The flesh lusts the spirit, and the spirit lusts the flesh, so we cannot do.
What we would, these are always contrary to one another.
Unbelief, he said to the Corinthians, is that thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
It must be brought to the obedience of Christ.
The only man who ever believed.
Unbelief is the first thing that proves men up.
Look over John chapter 16.
John chapter 16, our Lord is preparing his disciples' departure from this world after the crucifixion.
They are troubled.
And so he says to them in John 14, let not your heart be troubled.
God believe also in me.
I go to prepare a place for you.
I will come back and I'll bring you to that place I prepared for you.
But in John chapter 16, he says, I'm going away, but I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit, my spirit.
He says in John chapter 7, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for me that I go away. Why is it expedient that the Lord didn't stay here
as a visible human being on this earth?
It was expedient that we would understand that we walk by faith and not by sight.
That was necessary.
He said, if I go away, the comforter will not come to you.
But if I depart, I will send him to you.
And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. And of righteousness and of judgment.
Had he left there, religion would come to define those three elements: sin, they'd call drinking, smoking, messing around with folks who do, going to the movie, going to the mess, on the internet, taking cocaine, all kinds of things.
So that's sin.
They would look at righteousness as holy living.
That you're not living holy, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you how to live a good, righteous person in this world.
Then they look at judgment and say there's a judgment coming and people don't believe in Jesus going to hell.
They'd nail it now.
But our Lord knows that.
And so he defines what these things are.
He said it's going to reprove the world of sin.
Verse 9, sin.
What is sin?
Because they believe not on me.
That's unbelief.
The very first thing of righteousness, because I go to my Father.
What does that mean?
That Christ has made to be unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption.
Of judgment, because I'm going to judge Satan, the prince of this world, is going to be cast out.
He said, I have many things to say to you,
but you cannot bear them yet.
Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth.
He shall not speak of himself.
So if he speaks of himself, he wouldn't be speaking the truth, would he?
For whatsoever he shall hear,
That shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
He shall glorify me.
For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you.
All things that the Father hath in mind, therefore said unto you, he'll take of mine, and he will show it unto you.
That's what the Holy Spirit is.
And the first thing he reproves men of,
all men,
is that they don't believe in Jesus Christ.
The flesh and the spirit residing in the bosom of every believer proves a mysterious thing.
There is no dotted line drawn in our mind, our bodies, and our hearts
that enables us to know which is which most of the time.
What is flesh and what is spirit?
Sin that is defined and prohibited in Scripture is easily attributed to flesh.
Thou shalt not steal. We know that's a sin. Thou shalt not commit adultery. We know that's a sin. But unbelief is a subtle thing. As subtle as it may be, it may take the form of humility.
It may take the form of meekness. It may take the form of pride, and even boldness and obvious courage.
Unbelief may even manifest when a thing is so amazing and wondrous that it seems too good to be true.
One time the disciples said to the Lord, they believed not for joy.
it's just too good.
It was overwhelming.
Sooner or later, the believer is going to say with Paul,
With my mind, I serve the law of God, and with my flesh, I serve the law of sin and death.
That's not going to change.
Jude wrote, those who were saved through fear, as it were, from the fire, hating the garment spotted with the flesh.
And the spots that got the garment are the forensic blood spatter of unbelief.
And the passage I read for tonight's consideration is very interesting.
Talks about throwing down a rod and turning a snake, but not inside your shirt.
Those things are very interesting.
Now look at that more depth at our next meeting.
But as I read this passage, I was struck with three responses that Moses heard in reply to the Lord's command,
and the Lord's promise,
and even the miracles that were performed before Moses' eyes.
The Lord had commanded Moses to gather the elders of Israel.
Everything he said in this passage is about that incident of gathering the elders of Israel.
Not talking about going to Pharaoh yet.
Talking about getting all the elders of Israel together.
These are God's people, supposed to be worshiping God.
The Lord commanded them to gather the elders and tell them that the Lord had visited them and seen their affliction.
And was going to deliver them from the slavery of Egypt.
That's what Moses was to tell the people.
The Lord had promised that the elders would hear Moses.
They will hear. They will listen.
They will hearken.
They will not act upon what they hear.
They will hearken unto you.
And he said, come with him to face Pharaoh.
And that's a promise of God.
The first verse of chapter 4 is Moses' response to that.
And it's an example of unbelief.
The Lord said they will hearken in verse 18.
He said, and they shall hearken unto thy voice.
And thou shalt come, and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say, the Lord God of Hebrews has met with us, let us go three days in the journey of the wilderness, and may sacrifice unto the Lord our God.
They will hearken, the Lord said.
What does Moses answer?
Behold, they will not believe me.
They will not hearken unto my voice.
For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee.
Moses said they would not believe or hearken.
The Lord said they will believe and hearken.
What entered into the mind of Moses?
Not known, but every creature can relate to God's thoughts as they consider when they have an opportunity to share the gospel.
And knew that those they spoke to would not believe them.
You talk to people about Christ, you see it in their eyes.
They roll their eyes.
They don't know what you're talking about.
You know they won't believe.
You know that.
Moses knew.
That's what he knew.
They won't believe.
And the truth is this.
They will not believe you.
And they will not believe me.
And they will not believe them.
If they believe, it will be a miracle of God's grace.
It will be a gift of grace.
And they will believe God.
If they really believe.
But the heart of this response is not born of an understanding of grace.
It's born of unbelief.
And the unbelief is that the result is somehow up to the one who speaks.
That's what he's really saying.
They won't hear me.
I'm going to fail
because they won't hear me.
God said they're going to hear you.
And they're going to hearken unto you.
We often take it to heart as if failure, success was never in our court to begin with.
We could never get that out of our minds.
And start believing God.
What a world this would be.
Results are not in our hands.
They have never been in our hands and never will be in our hands.
Scripture says the Lord's sheep will hear his voice.
And his voice is not our voice.
We're saying words.
We're forth tellers.
We tell things out.
His voice is his word.
His word.
Which he says in John 6:63 is spirit.
And life.
My words, they are spirit.
He said, the flesh profiteth nothing.
My words, they are spirit, and they are life.
Our commission is simple.
To tell.
To the Lord belongs the increase.
He who adds to the church daily should be saved.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
The Lord does this.
And unbelief.
What unbelief really is somehow in our minds.
We feel like when we obey the Lord's commands,
somehow, somewhere in that picture,
there's the element that we must accomplish something.
we must see some results.
That's unbelief.
That's what Moses said.
They won't hearken unto me.
And after the Lord performed those two miracles
with the rod and with the hand and leprosy,
and promised a third.
To cause the elders to believe.
Moses replied again in verse 10.
Moses said, Lord,
I am not eloquent.
Neither therefore, nor since.
Thou hast spoken unto thy servant.
Before you spoke to me, I ain't eloquent. I'm not a great speaker.
I don't do well with words.
He said, I'm slow of speech.
And slow of tongue.
And here Moses takes humility.
Or unbelief, and it takes the form of humility.
But it is ill-formed humility.
His unbelief is manifesting that somehow the result of the Hebrew elders heeding and hearing him
has to do with his ability to speak.
His eloquence, or lack thereof, usually plays into the effectualness of God's promise.
God's promise to the elders hear and hearken is entirely up to God to perform.
Abraham believed God and believed he was able to perform that which he has promised in Romans chapter 4. That's where it comes from. We trust God to do these things. God has told us to tell folks about Christ. God has told us to tell what he's done for us.
What he's done for his people.
We're to sit forth the glories of Jesus Christ in that perfect sacrifice.
We're to do that. But we're to stop there.
That's the hardest thing for us poor old human beings, is that we just don't believe enough to believe that God's going to take whatever that is and do something with it.
But he will.
Because he has promised.
He will.
God promised that the elder would hear and hearken is entirely up to God to perform it.
That don't mean you don't do what God told you to do.
But it simply means take yourself out of the equation as to any result of it taking place.
Our Lord says, how his gospel comes to me.
Remember, Moses' complaint was, I'm not eloquent.
How does our Lord say his gospel comes to me?
Stammering lips, with another tongue.
Fear and trembling, Paul said, I come to you in fear and trembling, not with words of men's wisdom.
That's how God uses.
Not words of men's wisdom.
He uses his gospel self to set forth the truth.
So that there can be no doubt that the performance of the promise and the obedience and the command belongs solely to God.
How do I know that? Because he does it. Stammering lips. Our slow tongue. Our lack of eloquence.
That's how he does it.
So no man can ever look at us. And say, we caused that.
Now men do have eloquence.
Some men are eloquent.
Some men have power of personality and character.
And because of that, men actually give their salvation to the man.
And they follow the man.
But it's not the man that saves.
It's the man that tells.
I remember one time, Jerry Falwell, years ago.
Said he couldn't wait to get to heaven and find all those people come up and shake their heads and say, thank you for saving me, Jerry.
And they get to heaven, that's what they say, because Jerry saved them.
God didn't save them.
But Jerry did.
Us poor creatures.
Wretched, weak, timid, frail.
Fearful.
With trembling lips, stammering lips,
we tell folks.
And then we back away.
Because God's promise, my word.
Shall not return to me void.
But let it go where I send it.
And accomplish what I purpose.
God said he'd do that.
And that's the truth.
God uses men to preach the gospel so that there can be no doubt that the promise
and the obedience to the command belongs solely to God.
Why will these Hebrews hear?
Because God's going to make them hear.
Now Moses is going to tell them.
But Moses ain't going to make them hear.
And after the Lord rebukes Moses and promises his mouth and teach him.
What does he say?
Verse 13.
He says, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send or see.
What's he saying?
Well, he's responding in unbelief.
Moses basically says, please send someone else to do the task. And many say, he was referring to
please send
the
Messiah.
please.
Well, he's coming. He's coming.
Not yet.
Again, this is the form of humanity manifested in unbelief.
Moses is still believing
that the results belong to man.
Somebody else to do it.
In this case, he believes that a better man, a man with different and better abilities can do it.
The message of Isaiah loud and clear when he sees a man with breath in his nostrils.
For where is he to be counted of the Lord?
He said, I have purposed it. I will also do it.
I have spoken, and it shall come to pass.
Moses, go gather the children of Israel, the elders, and tell them that God has appeared to you.
They'll hear you, and they'll hearken.
And almost could come up with excuses because Moses believed God.
He believed God, just like all true believers believe the gospel.
That doesn't take away this thing in us, this flesh in us.
It makes us want to say, somehow,
I have to make this work.
We can't make it work.
But God will.
Because he has promised.
Oh, to trust him.
Only trust him.
Oh, to only believe God.
And remove ourselves from what God has told us to do.
Father, bless us to understand and pray in Christ's name.
Amen.